Holy City.
Certainly good to be here with you today. Glad to see all those present with us here today. We certainly want to once again welcome each and every one of you here today, and especially our visitors. We're thankful to have you here today for our Memorial Day service here at Mount Carmel, and invite you back to be with us each and every opportunity that you might have. I'd like to apologize for our bulletin today. We, due to technical problems, ran short on quality and quantity, but intended to have a color picture on all of them, and that just didn't happen, and didn't get as many around out, so I apologize for those of you who may not have gotten one. We'd like to look at a message this morning entitled, Don't Change the Message, Let the Message Change You. And I didn't come up with that title. I saw that on a church sign this past week when I was driving to work, and I thought it was a very good title, and I decided to use that for our lesson today. And you know, as we just look around us today, we see so many times when the rules are given, it doesn't matter if it's in school or work or in our civil government or wherever else. So many times, people want to change the rules. They don't want to abide by the rules. They don't want to conform to the rules. They want to change the rules to let the rules meet how their lives are and how they're living their lives. And you know, that may not be a good idea in school or work or wherever you're at, if you might maintain order and discipline there, but it cannot happen in our religious life. We can't have that in our religious life, that we try to change what God says to do. What we need to do is try to let God's message, not the message that I'm speaking necessarily today, but God's Word, the Word that He gives us through the Bible, so let that change our lives to accept what it says. We'd like to look at four different areas this morning. The first we'd like to look at is to know the message. How are we going to let the message change us if we don't know what the message is and we don't know what it says in our lives? To pass on a love for God. You know, we may pass on a lot of things to our children when we die, or our grandchildren, or our friends or neighbors, or those we might share things with in this life. But you know, the most important thing that we might do is to pass on a love for God. The next thing we'll look at this morning is our purpose is to love and serve God. You know, you might ask a lot of people in this life, what's the purpose of your life? Why are we here on this earth? And you know, very few people may say to love and serve God. They might say, I'm here for my own happiness, or I'm here to live a good life and enjoy life and have a retirement so I can enjoy things on this earth. But it's important for us to understand our purpose is to love and serve God. And lastly, we'd like to look at it's never too early or too late to serve God. There's a lot of things in this life we may miss out on. I started to order something the other day. It had free shipping. And guess what? I ordered it one day too late. And I didn't get it. I missed that. But you know, it's never too late to start serving God. But keep in mind throughout our message this morning is don't change the message, let the message change you. First we'd like to look at is know the message. We will never live better than we know. And we may know to do the right things, and we may not do those things. But my friends, if we don't know what the Word of God says, chances are we're not going to abide by it. But we need to know the message. First scripture we'd like to look at this morning is in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, begin with verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto light that shineth in the dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in time old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So we see the Scripture is of no private interpretation. And what this was talking about here, about the words of this Bible, it wasn't just Paul's idea. And you hear people say that sometimes today. Well, that was just Paul's opinion. Well, it wasn't just Paul's opinion. It was what Paul wrote in this book was inspired by God. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And their pens moved as God inspired them to do. And you know, we can't change the Word of God today. I can read to you. I might expound upon something that it says, but you know, we can't change the Word of God today. And I believe that what it talks about here about the Scriptures and no private interpretation, just as it was in those days for those that were inspired by God, it's of no private interpretation to us today. I'm not going to have some revelation from God to understand a Scripture that's totally different than what you do. There's just one truth. You know, either I'm wrong or either you're wrong or maybe we're both wrong about it. But there's just one truth about what the Scriptures mean. And nobody really has any access to that that's any better than anybody else. We can all read it, we can all understand it, and we can all live by it in our lives. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it's a very common passage we read many times. It says, the Apostle Paul here speaking to young Timothy says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved. Again, as we talked about earlier, we'll never live better than we know. And how are we going to know how to live if we don't study? Study. Learn what the book says. We can apply that to our life. And rightly dividing the word of truth. You know why the Bible says what it means and means what it says? We still have to understand how to rightly divide the word of truth. We could open up the book right now and look over into Genesis when God was speaking to Noah and he said, build thee an ark of gopher wood. Well, if we took that literally today, all of us better leave service today and go start hunting some gopher wood and start building us an ark, because that's what the Bible says. But I believe when it talks about rightly dividing the word of truth is understanding. And the first thing in understanding is who was doing the talking and who was he talking to? God was talking to Noah. And he told Noah something to do, and that was something for Noah to do in that time. Noah built the ark. He saved himself and his wife and his three children and their wives. Those eight people were saved by being in the ark. And that's done. We can learn a whole lot from that story and from the ark and the ark of safety and all the different stories from Noah. But as far as building an ark made of wood, that time is past. That applied to Noah. And it doesn't apply to us today. And that's just a very simple example. But many times people read things in the Scriptures and they try to apply it to things today that maybe don't apply to us today. Or they want to leave things off that do apply to us today as well. So we need to be careful with that as well. Know the message. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, we see the words of Jesus here, where he says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Jesus Christ is going to be our judge one day. And the Word is going to be the source of our judgment. This Bible, depending on what dispensation of time that we live in, whether so the old law or the new law, that we'll be judged according to those things. So we need to understand. It's not going to be a surprise pop quiz like the teacher might have given us in the grade school. It's going to be on the things that Jesus had told us to do. And how can we just really be sure that, you know, maybe Jesus didn't understand how it was going to be in 2005 in the United States. With all the technology that we've got and things have changed. And let's look in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. I think this clears it up a little bit. It says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, today, and forever. I think that answers that question. He's going to be our judge on judgment day. He's going to judge us according to this word. And it's, you know, we've used this example many times. You know, when we used to have the World Book Encyclopedia, we used to get a new volume every year for the new technology that came out. The old one said, man may someday go to the moon. We had one when I was growing up. I remember reading that in there. Well, man's done been to the moon, so they need an update to that. We don't need an update to the Bible. We won't have one. Its word is complete. The next passage, I think, indicates that in James chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. James chapter 1, again, verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. The engrafted word which is able to save your souls. How important is the word of God? How important is the Bible? It's able to save your soul if you'll do what it says to do. If you'll abide in those words. And again, knowing it's not going to be enough, notice what the last part of this verse in James says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. My friends, if you know the word and we don't do it, then we're deceiving ourselves. Know the message. We'll never live better than we know. We can't change the message. We can only let the message change us. The next thing we'd like to look at is pass on a love for God. You know, as we mentioned briefly in our introduction, you know, we give many things to our children and our grandchildren. We might give them an education or the opportunity to have an education. We might provide them with safety. You know, we do a lot of safety things around our house. We make sure we got smoke alarms. And we got the little things you plug in the plugs when the babies are little and so forth. And we try to put the poisons up high where they can't get to them. We do a lot of things for safety. We do things for them for health. We take them and get them inoculated for 15 different types of diseases. And those things are good because a lot of those diseases have been wrapped out in this country. Protection. You know, we put deadbolt locks on the doors. We have burglar alarms sometimes. And we have different things we do to try to keep our children safe. We try to go with chaperones on them when they go on trips and stuff. And so they'll have plenty of adults there to watch after the children. We give them financial support. We try to teach them about money and about the importance of money and things like that when they're growing up. And we even might even incorporate that into the education. We try to give them a good education so they can financially support themselves later on in their lives. And we might even support them even in their young adult lives and so forth. Our children, our grandchildren, we might do that for our parents. We might do that for our relatives or friends or neighbors, somebody that's near and dear to us. We do these physical things to them. We pass this thing along to them so that they'll have something when we're gone. You know, we heard the old proverb when it talks about you teach a man to give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day, and you teach a man to fish and he'll eat for a lifetime. We think about our kids and our grandchildren and stuff like that, about we want to teach them things, that we want to pass something along to them to have when we're gone. But what greater thing do we give our children, our grandchildren, again, our neighbors, friends, maybe even our parents, is to pass on a love for God. Because, you know, all those other things that we talked about, they're going to disappear. They're going to be gone. You know, they're only going to last a lifetime at best. But a love for God is something that will last them throughout all eternity. We'd like to look at several passages this morning that have to do with passing on a love for God. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, there's nothing better we can do than to train up our children with a strong Christian foundation. Something that they can really build upon in their lives. That they can know God in their lives. That they can understand the hope of salvation. And you know, hopefully our children or anyone will remain faithful throughout their lives. But you know, many times we know that doesn't happen. Sometimes people get to be adults and they get out in the world and they get out of the church and so forth. And we'll talk about that a little bit at the end of our lesson today. But you know, many times we see sometimes people who drift away, the reason why later on in their lives they wind up coming back is because when they were trained up as a child, they understood the right things to do. And then when they are old, they come back to it. They understand the things that they needed to do. And they come back to that foundation that they left when they were a child. That's not maybe always the case, but many times it is. They have that foundation. The chances are a whole lot better than coming back to that if they do have that firm foundation. again, passing on the love for God. Let's look at a passage in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verses 4 through 9. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning with verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And notice carefully when we do this. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gate. And we know this is from the Old Testament and under the old law, but you know, we can learn something then. When were they taught about God in their life? We can learn something from this example. It sounds like all the time, doesn't it? Doesn't sound like it was just on Sunday morning for an hour, hour and 15 to 20 minutes, or whatever, how long the service is. It doesn't even sound like it was just three times a day, like Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. It sounds like it was a lot more than that. Talks about when they were sitting down, when they were standing up, when they were, everything that they were doing in their lives, posting it around the house, on their gates, and their, so that they would have it in front of them at all times. Physically having them in front of them. Very interesting thought. In Psalm chapter 78, verses 1 through 8, we have another passage. It talks about passing it on to our children. O my people, to my law, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them for our children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children who should be born, who should rise up and declare them to their children. That they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. He gives two examples, those that didn't do what God said and didn't pass it on to their children, but those that did. They passed it on to their children, they passed it on to their children, so their children's children could pass it on to their children. They had a love for God, and they wanted to pass it on. They didn't want to change the message. They let the message change things. Next, we'd like to look in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and verse 5. We see a case here about Apostle Paul speaking here to young Timothy. And he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith which is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. You know, we notice a couple of things from this passage. First of all, it doesn't mention Timothy's father or his grandfather. And that's probably because they didn't have the influence in his life. So it's always not the man of the house, even though it needs to be the man of the house. But sometimes that's not the case, if that's not a religious person. But Timothy understood the scriptures because of his mother and his grandmother. They were there for him. They sat down and they taught him about the Bible. And how did that affect his life? Let's look over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through 17, a couple of chapters over, and we see the effect that it has in Timothy's life. The Apostle Paul continues on here, says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast heard and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's how important those scriptures were. Timothy learned these things from his mother and from his grandmother. And it says, "For my child I have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." That's how important the Word of God is. And it continues on in verse 16. It says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Perfect meaning here in verse 17 is complete. He's thoroughly furnished with everything that he needs. There's not anything else that he needs but the Word of God. He needs the things that Timothy had in his life. And he was given these things by his mother and his grandmother. They passed on a love for God. Let's look over in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 33. The Apostle Paul here speaking to the church at Ephesus. He talks about the husband-wife relationship here in this passage and also comparing that with the church as well. But what about our children? Do they see the love of God in our home, in our relationship with our between our husband, our wife, and our family life? Do they see that in our lives? Just read this passage and keep that in mind as we think about passing on our love for God to our children. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 21. "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it as the Lord of the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Got a lengthy reading there, but you know, we see in this passage the parallel between Christ and the church, between the husband and the wife. And you know, it's easy to talk a good game, but you know, our children and those that live in our household, they know what kind of life that we have, what kind of relationship the husband and wife have. And it's going to make a whole lot of difference of whether or not they see a love for God in our families, whether we can pass that love for God on down to them. And it may have a lot of effect on whether or not they can have a successful marriage and relationships in their life in the future. To know what to expect from a godly relationship. Passing on a love for God. Not trying to change the message, but letting the message change us. We see a similar passage in Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. Verse 18, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." So we have responsibilities as parents to have a proper relationship between a husband and wife. Children have a responsibility to obey their parents in all things, for this is pleasing unto the Lord. And we as parents need to make sure that happens within our home, that we can pass on that love for God. But as fathers, we are not to provoke our children to anger and not that they won't become discouraged. We need to pass on a love for God. Next, we'd like to look in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. You know, there's cases sometimes where you may have the husband or wife, one may not be a Christian, but the other one may be. You know, the best thing that we can do there is to live a godly life before them. Let's go to what it says carefully in this passage. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation or manner of life of the wives, while they behold their chaste conversation coupled with fear. Again, conversation here meaning not only speech, but a manner of life. The manner of life that we live before could actually convert someone. Not by beating them over the head with a Bible, but by them seeing God and living in our lives day in and day out, year after year after year. Many times, that's what will break through. That's what will make a difference in one's life. Not preaching it to them by reading it to them, not beating them over the head with it, but for them to see that God is living. For them to see that you're not trying to change the message, that you're letting the message change you, that you know the message, that you're willing to live it in your life, and you're willing to pass that love for God on, not only to your children, but to your wife, to your husband, might be to your parents, might be to your co-workers, friends, families, those. For them to see that love of God in your life, you'd be willing to pass it on. We'd like to conclude this section by reading a passage in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Joshua summed it up in one verse here about what he was going to do with his household. He said, "And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whom land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know, that's an attitude we need to have as parents, as family, whether we have children in our home or not. We need to make that decision. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In other words, we're going to serve the Lord. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what effect it might have on our standing in the community. It doesn't matter what happens. We're going to serve the Lord. We're not going to change the message of God. We're going to let it change us. We're going to conform to the message of God. We're going to study. We're going to know the message. And we're going to pass the love of God on to those that we come in contact in our lives. Next, we'd like to look at our purpose is to love and serve God. You know, sometimes we talked about earlier, some people, you might ask them, what is your purpose in this life? And they might say, well, it's to have a new car. It's to have a new house. It's to have a good job. It's to go on vacation. And then someday, for me to be able to retire and have a big 401k or retirement plan or whatever, so I can have all those things and not go to work anymore. And you know, there's certainly not anything wrong with any one of those things in your life, as long as that's not the total focus of your life. But is that truly our purpose in this life? Just read the passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Solomon wrote this. It was one of the, not only the wisest men, but one of the richest men that ever lived on the face of this earth. And after having all these riches and all this wisdom, this is what Solomon came up with. He says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, in verse 13, it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good and whether it be evil." That's what Solomon came up with. With all his wisdom, he said, this is the whole purpose of man, is to fear God and keep his commandments. You know, we may not really think about that's what our purpose is. But you know, that is our purpose on this earth. It's to serve God and keep his commandments. And as Christians, to spread the gospel. You know, we might enjoy some of these other things along the way, but that is our purpose in this life. And you know, we might say, oh yeah, I have that purpose in my life, but let's look at a couple of passages that really answers the question of whether or not we actually are serving God as we should. Let's look at John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. John chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus said, he gave a litmus test here. He said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So what he's saying, if you don't continue in my word, you're not my disciples. You can certainly apply that. It's a litmus test. It's one thing to say we serve God, and to say that's our purpose upon this earth, but it's another of how we live our life. Jesus said that if we continue in his word, then are we his disciples indeed. Again, how are we going to continue in his word if we don't know his word? And how are we going to pass it along if we don't live it in our lives? Another passage in John chapter 14 and verse 15. Again, Jesus speaking here, a very simple passage. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We show Jesus that we love him by keeping his commandments, by doing the things that he said to do. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, for whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begeth, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not big. They're not hard. They're not more than what we can do. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, that he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? That's our purpose in this life, is to love God and keep his commandments. And his commandments are not great. It's not something too hard for us. It's not something that we can't do. And lastly, we'd like to look at a passage in Matthew chapter 20. It's never too early or too late to serve God. You know, there's many decisions in our lives that we make, especially sometimes decisions we make when we're young that maybe affect us the rest of our lives. Maybe we didn't get the education that we should have. Maybe we didn't learn the things that we should have. Maybe we didn't start saving for retirement like we should have. Maybe it was a relationship that went wrong when we were very young, and we can't change that relationship. Maybe we can't make that right. Maybe we should have started working somewhere that had a retirement plan and start saving when we were 20 years old, and now we're fixing to retire, and it's too late for those things. But you know, it's never too late to start serving God. And we don't lose any benefits. But you and I have to be careful to not tempt God, because some people can get that out of this passage that we're fixing to read about. It doesn't matter when you start serving God, as long as you do, and you're still serving him when the end comes. But we've got to be careful not to tempt God by waiting too late. Let's look at Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. And notice Jesus said here, for the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder. And when he says that's what the kingdom of heaven is like, that's something we need to take special notice about, because he's telling us about some things that's going to get us to heaven. Which went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And when he had went out the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also to the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others idle, and said unto them, why stand ye here idle all the day? And they said unto him, because no man has hired us. And he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. And when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto the steward, call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they were hired about the 11th hour, received every man a penny. And when the first came, they supposed that they should receive more, and they likewise every man a penny. And when they received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the heat and burden of the day. And he said unto them, friend, I did thee no wrong. Dost thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even to the first. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. For many shall be called, but few chosen. And you know, you've probably all heard this parable many times. It talks about people being hired at different times during the day. And that's analogous to people becoming a Christian and starting to serve the Lord at different times in their life. Some start at a very, very young age. Some start a little bit later age. Some start when they're middle age. Some start when they're old. But it doesn't matter when we start to serve God. It matters if we're serving God when our life is over or when the Lord comes back. And you know, some people want to leave this passage as we mentioned before we even read it and say, well, since that's the case, I think I'll just wait till I'm old. I'll wait till later because it's not going to affect my reward. But it is going to affect it. And you know, most people who say they're going to wait, they wind up. Never do. And you know, as we think about this Memorial Day, as we remember those that have gone on before us many, many years ago, those that went before us that made it possible for us to even be here today. But we think about those that have passed on in this last year. You know, a year from today, the next Memorial Day, you or I may not be here. You may be gone, you may be old. But you know, we find that death comes upon all. It doesn't discriminate of whether you're gone or old. It could be any one of us that might not be here next year. If you're here today and have never rendered obedience to the gospel, I want you to seriously consider your life. That we not change the message, but let the message change us, that we might have a hope of heaven one day. That we through obedience to the Word, through hearing the Word, through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, we might be added to the Lord's church. And if we've done those things in the past and have not lived the life as we should, that we can come back. And that can be restored with full benefits. You know, it's not like the world. You know, many times we go away from a job and we stay away too long and then come back. You know, they say, well, you've got to start all over. But you know, in God's name, we can start back at the top. Just like we never left. God wants us to come back. He wants us to repent. He wants us to come back to Him. But you know, we have to do it by His way. We can't change the message. We have to let the message change us. We have to return to those things. If we have rendered obedience to the gospel, we have to be baptized for the remission of our sins. That's not my message. That's what the Word says. And the Word is what's going to judge us. You know what I said. If there's any here today that are subject to the gospel, we can assist you in any way. We'd ask you to come. I'm standing.
I am
resolved,
O Lord.